So here we are again. Another year has passed. And as we were saying in the last sermon, mentioning Maureen Lipman in one of her famous quotes, another year has gone by. Lord, when will I improve? And we're presented with this dilemma, are we not? Of living in the now, but not quite yet, fullness of it all. We still see and live with an imperfect world. And it was yesterday, Shabbat Shavuot, Avi brought us a lovely word, and our need for God as our rock and a strong tower, and it was a lovely, beautiful word from him. But it was one sentence in particular that really got me thinking. As he mentioned in his sermon, and he said this: I once heard a person saying, I'm grateful I've had a good life with no real problems. And I thought, how on earth did he get away with that, Lord? It was only yesterday, you'll remember it. Arby is nodding sagely on the internet. Yes, that's what I said. Honestly, I have yet to meet someone with that kind of life. Honestly. The thing is, I guess for most people, they don't see what I would see in the position that I have here as the rabbi. Most people do not see the often queue of people who are waiting to come and sit in the chairs upstairs to talk to me. Rabbi, I need to share something. Rabbi, I have something to say. Rabbi, there's something I need to put before you. Rabbi, rabbi. And you don't see those diary entries, you don't see those meetings, because you're not the one sitting in the chair. You're the one the next day or the next week. But as I've watched over the last nearly 30 odd years of ministry, in one way or another, I have yet to meet the perfect congregation. I've yet to meet the perfect individual. I've yet to meet anyone who can sit there where I've maybe invited them in. Maybe this will happen one day. I shall say to you, excuse me, so-and-so, you need to come and sit in my office. And they'll come and sit in my office, and I'll say, please tell me. And I go, nothing to say. Maybe one day it'll happen. Statistically, I guess there must be someone out there who is close to that ideal. But honestly, I doubt that any single human being gets through life totally unscathed and untouched by the pain of being human. Be honest with yourself. And if you were to say to a little child, enjoy your life, it's going to be glorious to the very end. No pain will touch you. No misfortune will come your way. No sadness, no sorrow. Just joy and glory all the way. How would you deceive that child? Because honestly, sin is so ubiquitous, prevalent everywhere that we look, sin, and it is going to get worse. It is getting worse, we know that. Sin is everywhere and it destroys everything it touches. The worst thing of all that it destroys is human relationships. Now I want to take that back, that's not the worst thing that it destroys. The worst thing that it destroys is our relationship with God. But our relationship with each other is a very close second. Sin touches everyone, everything. It destroys everything in its path. And when released unhindered, it just goes through like a bulldozer and it destroys in its path. And you might be sitting there thinking, but Rabbi, I'm really not that much of a sinner. Well, okay, mazel tov. But even if it's not your own sin, I guarantee you it's the sin of others that has reached out and touched you. May not even be you the one who did something that was sinful. May even be you didn't do something wrong. But the car crash of someone else's life just happened to clip the wing of your life. And you were touched by it. In a way that you didn't expect. But there it is. It's in your life. I would go even as far as to say especially if we're coming in now into Yom Kippur, and for some of us by tomorrow evening as we're getting hungry, I suspect the pain of our stomachs and our bodies are beginning to cry out to us that we need something inside. It reminds us again the frailty, the weakness, the vulnerability of being human. But it's not just that pain. I want to put it to you that human pain, what it means to be a human being in whatever form and shape that it takes in your lives through the years, because it comes and goes and ebbs and flows, of course, but it is always there as a thread that runs all the way through our lives. I want to suggest to you that human pain issue is something which defines us as human beings. The need for that forgiveness of sin and its causes and effects in our lives. Now, some of you know I'm a great sci-fi fan. I was overjoyed just recently when the BBC decided to start streaming Battleship Galactica again, one of my all-time favourite series. And if you know anything about this, if you don't, quick diversion, let me just fill you in. It's about a race of semi-human cyborgs. But there's something about this particular race, because their desire is to be fully human. Humans created them. And there's a sense in these cyborgs, when they look at real human beings, that they want to be like their maker. Interesting enough in itself. But the one thing the cyborgs realise very quickly is that to be human is to suffer. And so these cyborgs, these Cylons, write into their software the ability to feel pain. Imagine that. And there's one very poignant scene early in the series where one of these cyborgs is captured by the real humans and is being roughed up, shall we say, to try and force this machine to admit that it is actually a cyborg and not a human being. While it's in the cell and being roughed up, the cyborg is wincing in pain. And one of the lines which they say to them as they get into the cyborg's face is, "Switch the pain off. Because you can do it. Because you're not human." And at that point, as the cyborg admits the situation that it's in this dreadful situation that this machine finds itself in, to switch off the pain would be to admit that it isn't really human. That shows us something so profound. We all carry our weaknesses, our imperfections, the results of sin in our lives, bodies and spirits. I want to say to you this evening, actually, right now, in fallen humanity on this planet, it is that makes us human. That has become a defining thread of humanity. Because there is not one single human being that got an opt-out clause. Show me one single human being that has not sinned. That has not contributed to the collective amount of sin on this planet. Show me one human being that has sailed beautifully and gloriously through this life. Quote, "I'm grateful I've had a good life with no real problems." I would suggest to you that if anyone says that to your face, they are lying. Pain touches us all in some form or other. We are all human. And as much as some will claim perfection and a damage-free existence for their lives, or even go too far to say that actually this should be our norm as human beings, I think the writer of Ecclesiastes, in 7:20, if you're interested to look it up, Solomon and Shaul would all disagree. What did Rav Shaul say? "All have fallen short of the righteousness of God." Every single human being. And sin brings that chaos, that destruction into our own lives, and it wreaks others' lives and wreaks damage into others' lives wherever it goes. Every single human being. Yes, on one level, perfection should be our norm. As Adam and Chava were created, perfect and with no sin, that should be our norm. But at some point in all our human lives, at whatever age it is, you know, when that child gets to that point where mum or dad or whoever it was says to them in their life, don't paint on the walls. Child picks up paintbrush, yeah? At some point, every single one of us have done it. There's not a single one of us that hasn't. It may not be paint, it will be something else, but we've all done it. Every single one of us, when we meet the righteousness of God, as Shaul writes in Romans, you know, there was a time when I was without sin, there was a time when I didn't know, but when I met the Torah, when I read the Torah, when I read and understood the righteous standards of God, sin in me leaps into life and action, and he finds himself doing everything that he knows he should not do. This is our human experience. We, all of us, rebel against God. All of us fight against him in some way or another. All of us, to some measure, have experienced the Lord piling on the pressure as punishment for our sins. We've all experienced those moments where we sat there and we have known that God is not pleased with us. We've experienced that displeasure. Personally, nationally, as Israel, we have quenched his spirit again and again in our personal lives and in our national lives. And to pretend otherwise is just spiritually shallow. Why is it important? Well, relationship counselors will tell us again and again. Any relationships that are based on the perfection of the other, the cracks don't take long to appear. And when we are dealing with each other, we can walk around and we can pretend as we're looking into each other's faces day by day in the synagogue, interacting with each other. We can look at the other and, oh, I wish I was as perfect as you. And you don't know that person's life. What you can see is what they are projecting for you, what they want you to see. Because all of us are broken. We have all failed God and each other. And no amount of self-reassurance of the, at least I don't do what he's doing, is ever going to help. And if we are sitting in judgment upon the one who is doing that which I don't do, just remember, as I've already said, as Yaakov says, he who keeps the whole Torah yet stumbles in one point is guilty of all. It's why we shouldn't be judging each other. Because the moment we point a finger at someone, we are pointing at ourselves. It's a great Jewish dictum. We're all knit together. And the person who walks around judging someone else is like the group of people sitting in the boat with one of them drilling a hole in the bottom. We all go down. And yet in all of this, the Torah and Judaism teaches the flip side of this perfectionism view. And it's very easy on Yom Kippur to think about the sin and forgiveness of sin and perfectionism as something that we're working towards, and that is true. But on the flip side of all of this is something even more powerful. It is this, that brokenness and restoration makes us stronger. As we face up to our weaknesses, we face up to our sins, we face up to the reality that we fall short of God's glory again and again, at that moment, as we go round that loop, as we seek his forgiveness, we repent, we come round it, we grow, we understand, we see more of who we are, more of who other people are. Through all of this, suddenly, we get stronger and stronger in our faith, more and more able, actually, to deal with the other, because we're getting stronger to deal with ourselves. The more we understand of our own need for God's mercy, are we able to extend that mercy to others? And the one who thinks they do not need God's mercy will struggle to extend God's mercy to others because they've not experienced it. Being superhuman to begin with is not required. Being human is required, and taking that brokenness to God and to each other for restoration and forgiveness, to drive forward that spiritual life in the Lord, to make us stronger and stronger in him, knowing his forgiveness, knowing the power of God daily in our lives. Yom Kippur teaches us this every year. It's why we're here again. The perfect need not apply. And I know that all of you here this evening, you've been forgiven in Yeshua, you've been forgiven, your sins have been dealt with in that way. But you are here today. Not because your sins have been forgiven, but because you did them first. That's why you're here. Because that forgiveness is real, but that forgiveness is predicated and built upon the fact that you sinned first before that forgiveness came in. And that is why we are here on this Yom Kippur. The perfect need not apply. In fact, Yeshua made exactly that same comment. I'm going to read this to you. This comes from the Besorah, the Good News according to Lucas, in his chapter 5. And picking up in 31-32 says this. And Yeshua answered and said to them, "Those who are well do not need a physician, but those who are sick, obviously. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And there are some, of course, within the community who will be going, "Yippee-yay, that's me out of the butt. That's it then. Okay, I don't need to listen, because my sins aren't there, and I've had a pretty good year," and so on. That wasn't Yeshua's point. I think he was making the point when he was driving home to people. It is sinners, and to sinners that I have come. And by the way, I'm talking to you. But don't think you've got to get out of jail card on all of this. But if you are perfect, I want to invite you right now. If you are perfect here tonight, whether you are here in the building, whether you're watching online as part of the Dat Yeshua and you're due to come to our Yom Kippur services tomorrow, or wherever you are in the world, I want to give you this welcome invitation. If you are perfect, please stay at home tomorrow. I mean it. But I'll let you work that one out for yourselves. All of which brings me really to one final thought, just to chew on this evening. And it's an interesting one, this, because we maybe don't see things quite this way. We are used to thinking that Yeshua did not sin, he led the perfect life, he's the only person who actually could say, "I'm grateful I've had a good life with no real problems." Well, actually, Yeshua did have a few. It's right on one level. Yes, he had that good life. Yes, he didn't sin. Yes, he went through life and saw what it was like to be human. And yet, according to the writer of Hebrews, let me just read you something for you to take away and chew on. This is Hebrews 4. You know this verse very well. It's very, very well known. This is Hebrews 4:15. "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, and yet without sin." Yeshua fully knew human life. He had this perfect life. Yeshua fully knew what it was to be like to be human. Or did he? Apparently, he identified with every single aspect of what it means to be human. Now already, if you think back to what I was saying earlier this evening, you'll be thinking, yes, but hang on a second. Rabbi was saying earlier this evening, to be human is to connect with something that is inevitably that sin forms us and frames us. Sin is the environment we live in. It is so much a part of humanity, of who we are. And yet scriptures say that Yeshua fully identified with us in our humanity. And many people will say, yes, he experienced the pain of being human. That he went all the way through his life, he experienced the temptations that we all have and did not succumb to them and didn't sin. Amen. He didn't sin. So much is true. But I don't think that's all. I was pondering this during the week. Last week when I was thinking about the service for Yom Kippur. And I was thinking, if Yeshua fully understands, if he fully identifies with us and our humanity in all of this, and knowing what frames us as human beings, For him to actually fully understand what it means to be human, he would need to understand and feel the effects of sin in his body. But he didn't sin. But I want to put it to you another way. I would say that he did understand and experience sin, didn't he? He did. Ours. Ours. He did experience sin, just not his own. He experienced our sin. And at that moment, as he experienced our sin and felt that in his body, when we talk about Yeshua being 100% God and 100% human, I sometimes think we miss some of the depth of this. When Yeshua took our sin upon himself, there was a rupture between himself and Father. It caused a breach. I think there's a deeper level we can go to in all of this. You see, God knew the pain of separation between himself and us. After all, he was there in the garden when it happened. But I want to put it to you that he didn't know what it felt like from our side. Of course he knew, in the omnipotent sense, in the same way as he knows how the wind blows. Yet to feel the wind on your skin when you don't have any skin is another order of awareness. I think if we understand this, in the depths of this, it's only in Yeshua, as God becomes flesh and lives amongst us and dwells amongst us, fully human, fully God, that we see the fullness of his understanding grow and fully, and I mean fully, identify with our situation and need for salvation. At that moment, when our sins are laid upon him and that rupture is there, the agony of separation is suddenly in God's own mind, feels what it feels like from our side to live without God. Fully identifying with our situation and our need for salvation. So Mashiach, he not only provides the answer to our sins, but he deeply connects with them and feels that existential pain of human loss. God knows, he knows what it is to be alive without him, without that relationship between man and God. For me, as I was contemplating this, that verse in Hebrews 4:15, not merely that he experienced human life, not merely that he grazed his knee when he was 4 years old, not merely that he went through all of the human experiences and so could identify with us. To fully identify, he had to feel how sin wrapped his body, our sin, and know what it was like to be human. Separated from his Father. Oh, he fully identifies with us now. God fully identifies with us and our situation. He knows. And I think this is why we also know and experience his mercy and his compassion. You know, for people who I think who often do not understand the depth of this mercy and compassion are often sitting, looking at their watches, going, so when is God going to judge? When do the fireworks start? God is taking too long. Why is he not judging already? I know why he's not judging already. Because he's merciful. He understands us. He knows that pain. And he's waiting still for us to repent and come back to him. That's the mercy of God. That's the compassion of God. He looks on us with love that would wipe away every tear, pain and situation if we would but let him. Every sin-ridden ache which he now knows from the human perspective, he feels it deeply as that human as he was in Yeshua. He feels that. Now God, the Father, every little bit of it he feels, the wretchedness of sin and how it destroys our lives. And he's not merely just watching that. He has felt that. He has been there. He has seen it. He took it into his body and he died because of our sins. That is our God. That is our God. As we start this Yom Kippur, to be fully human is to know pain in this world. And when we look upon our Mashiach, our Messiah, He knew pain. He knew pain. Because it was my sin that put Him on the tree. My sin. Even if you were perfect this evening, it would be my sin that put Him on the tree. We need to meet again our God this Yom Kippur. To really fully sense His commitment and connection with us as sinful humanity. To re-face the reality of sin in our lives and its effects. I want to say it again. Yom Kippur is not about us worrying about the sins in other people. It's the sins in ourselves. That is enough to worry about today. The Lord has other people in His hands. That is not our worry. It's not our concern. We need to come back again to face our God on this Yom Kippur and admit we have sinned. And embrace again the salvation, the redemption, the mercy, the compassion and the love. He fully identified with us in every single way and gave us that salvation that's available through Yeshua Mashiach. Amen. I wish you well over the fast as we go into that. Amen.